Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to see you all up and around and about this morning and out. Thank you for coming out this morning. Amen. A brand new year. I think God put a brand new year, brand new day, a brand new dawning. It's out of the word for the day goes. So that's what it's all about. It's a brand new you, right? Brand new beginning. All the old is gone. And we're never going to pick it back up again, are we? No. We had enough of that in 2016, didn't we? Amen. Well, Father, I surely do thank you for your healing power that's here this morning. I thank you for your grace that's so sufficient. I thank you for your angelic host that's walking to and fro throughout these chairs, touching your people, healing, delivering, set the captive free. And Father God, I thank you that the ears are being opened right now to hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father God, the heart is being opened to receive the seed. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to talk about God has you covered. We really need to understand that God does have us covered no matter where he sends us or no matter what he does, he has us covered. He doesn't leave us out there defenseless. He doesn't leave us out there naked, but he constantly keeps us covered. Psalm 91:4 says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Every time I read that scripture, I think the lady who had been to a prayer meeting, and she went home, and she had a burglar in her apartment, and she just kept saying, the feathers are covering me, the feathers are covering me, and the man got so scared he left all the stuff and he ran out. So... I think he thought she was crazy. At least he left. Amen. All right, so God has promised to protect his people. We may not all be on the front lines of a natural war, all right, but we all face an enemy who intends to steal, kill, and destroy. You hear that? We may not all be on the front lines of a natural war, but we all face an enemy who intends to steal, kill, and destroy. Every one of us here this morning faces that very same enemy every day. There's not a day goes by that he doesn't come at us. However, we must always remember our God is more powerful than the devil. I was setting up this morning, studying, getting things together, and I was thinking about how people sit in the house of God and they don't get, you know, they just stay the same as they were. When they come in, they leave the same as they were. And God said, did you ever stop to consider that I made the devil? I created the devil also. You know, he was up in heaven. God created him, and he thought he was better than God, and God kicked him out. In other words, he was saying, if the devil, you know, thought he was better than I was, why do you think people don't believe the same thing? Amen. You ever stop to think how he created the enemy? Created him to praise. He was beautiful. And the enemy come against God. Isn't that awesome? I never really thought of it that way. But that's how God spoke to me about it. And so he's telling me, don't be so amazed when people sit in the house of God and still don't serve me or still don't receive me. Amen. Because the devil himself sat right in the very presence of the Father and was a praise and worship leader up there. And he come against God. Why would I think it was so funny that or so terrible that people down here on earth who never sat with God wouldn't serve him? All right, I said we may not all be on the front lines of a natural war, but we all face an enemy who intends to steal, kill, and destroy. However, we must always remember our God is more powerful than the devil. And when we make God our refuge, we have security in him. See, you're going to have to make God your refuge. You're just going to have to do that. Just like a newborn baby wrapped in a warm, secure blanket, God wraps us in his love, power, and protection. He wraps us in his love, power, and protection. And I really believe that that's why he tells us never forget the blood. And then he told me he used to wrap the people in the blood of Jesus. So when I'm wrapping somebody in the blood of Jesus, I'm wrapping them in love, his power, and his protection, right? And awesome. When you stop and think about it. There is nothing anyone can come up with that is not covered by the promises of protection in God's word. Absolutely nothing. He has provided a shelter that is ours for the taking. Psalm 61:3 says, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." That whole scripture is really good. You know, in Psalm 61, you ought to read the whole thing when you go home. God himself is our shelter and refuge. God himself is our shelter and refuge. The dictionary defines refuge as that which shelters or protects from danger, distress, or calamity. It's a stronghold which protects by its strength, or a sanctuary which secures safety by its sacredness. Any place inaccessible to an enemy. Any place inaccessible to the enemy. Psalm 91:4 tells us, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." When trouble comes your way, stay in that place of refuge in God. See, the problem is we run out from that refuge. It is a place of safety from any enemy, safe in the secret place. According to the scriptures, God encircles, encompasses, covers, and shields those who make him their refuge. His presence, which is the anointing, is a kind of force field of protection, making you inaccessible to the enemy no matter what the circumstances. Let's read that again. His presence, God's presence, which is the anointing, is a kind of force field of protection, making you inaccessible to the enemy no matter what the circumstances. That is how men and women throughout the ages have been able to walk unharmed through all kinds of dangerous situations. That is how Daniel survived the lion's den. The lions couldn't get to him because a tangible force field of God's protection was around him. Put this in your spirit this morning. And that's in Daniel. You can read that in Daniel 6, 16 through 22. God was Daniel's refuge in the lion pit. Daniel trusted God, didn't he? He had no fear of going into that lion's den because he knew God was his refuge. See, this is where we come short. We don't understand that God is our refuge. We don't understand that God will keep us safe no matter where we may wander, what may happen to us. God will keep us safe. And God was a refuge for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace as well. When the devil comes after us, we run scared. See, we don't understand that God is our refuge. They were faithful to God and believed God. They were faithful to God and believed God, and a circle of his power, the tangible force of God's anointing, encased them. Are you hearing this? They didn't bow and they didn't burn. They didn't even smell of smoke. And you read that in Daniel 3, 12 through 17. An angel like the Son of God was in the furnace with them. They were not alone. God says, he keeps telling us, you're never alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with us no matter what kind of a problem we are in or what we're facing. All right, then they were encompassed by the power of God. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were encompassed by the power of God. That same protection belongs to us today. When we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And Psalms 91:1 says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." In Psalms 91:7 through 11, "A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." We have to read this scripture when we go home, and we have to meditate on it. We have to get it down in our spirit, because what God is calling us to do it in this given time, we have to understand that God is our refuge. He's our dwelling place. And the enemy can't touch us. He roars around about us, but he can't touch us. We have stepped into that dispensation where even whenever the enemy used to be able to touch, he's not going to be able to touch us any longer, because God has said, you're finished. That's why I've been playing that song, Let My People Go, lately. Because God has been telling me the enemy can no longer touch my people. He might rage and he might growl, but he can't touch. All right? Because he's told the devil, let my people go. Stay away from them. Now, the Spirit of God told me this concerning the secret place. There is a place in Christ Jesus where we abide in the secret place of God's protection. The world knows nothing about this secret place, nor can they live there. It is a place revealed by the Holy Spirit. It is for the obedient. Now, let's read this again. There is a place in Christ Jesus where we abide in the secret place of God's protection. The world knows nothing about this secret place, nor can they live there. It is a place revealed by the Holy Spirit. It is for the obedient. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. If you really gave your heart to Jesus Christ, then you died and your life is hidden in Christ, in God. You and I can live in the secret place. Wherever we go, the secret place goes with us, surrounding and encircling us. You and I can live in this secret place. Wherever we go, that secret place goes with us, surrounding and encircling us. I remember when I was first born again, I was going to work, and I looked both ways, and then I looked the other way again, and then I went across the road. Then I saw this van. It was right there at my door. The next thing I knew, I was sitting on the other side of the road. That van never touched me. And then I read about it later, I forgot what it's called, that God will protect you to a place where that van just went right through my car and never did anything to me. I went to work, telling everybody, they thought I was crazy. I didn't know what happened because I just newborn again. And I said, that van was right there, but I was on the other side of the road. I don't know how I got there. See, God was protecting me. I should have been dead. Some of you sitting in here this morning, you can probably look back over your life and tell there's times that you should have been dead too. But because God was protecting you and he was circled around about you, you're still sitting here today. Or there's a garment of light in this covering. God himself is encircled by what scripture calls a garment of light in Psalm 104:1-2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. That is a description of the glory of God. Adam was created in God's image, and God crowned him with glory and honor. And in Psalm 8:5 it says, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. If you read that whole chapter, it's talking about God made man. All right? But it said in verse 5, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Think about this. Adam was a reflection of God's image. Adam looked just like God. He was clothed in the glory of God. He wore a garment of light. It is true, when Adam sinned, the glory departed from him. Think about this. If the glory of God has been on you, and all of a sudden the glory of God leaves you, that had to be because of a sin in your life. It is true, when Adam sinned, the glory departed from him. He lost that crown of honor. But thank God, Jesus got back everything in the redemption that Adam lost in the fall. As believers in Christ, we are temples of the living God. He goes everywhere we go when we are filled with him. He goes everywhere we go when we are filled with him. God lives in us, and we should radiate His presence and love. He has covered us with a garment or shield of light. We may not always be able to see it, but rest assured, beings in the spirit realm, including devils and demons, see and recognize the glory of God on us. All right? We may not always be able to see it, you know, you and I, but rest assured, beings in the spirit realm, including devils and demons, see and recognize the glory of God on us. Occasionally, this light is visible in the natural also, because someone once sent a copy of a picture they had taken of Brother Hagin Sr. preaching at one of Kenneth Copeland's services. He was surrounded by God's glory. A shield of light was visible around him in the photo. When I first was born again, there was an awful lot of pictures being circulated, you know, of the angels being around people, or the fire being on people, but slowly that waned, and now you don't see that anymore. But God is taking us, has already started taking us back into that realm where the angels, where people are going to see the glory around about us, where the people's going to see the angels around about us. We're going to start seeing, our eyes are going to be open, we're going to see in the natural realm, we're going to be able to see these things. Amen. Art is a shield of faith. Even though as a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives within you, you still must make sure you have your shield of faith in place when the devil aims a fiery dart at you. You have to know that you know that you know that you know that God is your refuge. All right? And you do that by knowing that what the Word promises about protection and believing and standing on it in faith. You will not have faith to believe for this protection if you don't know what God says about it. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And we read that in Romans 10:17. Let's read that again, Brent. You will not have faith to believe for this protection if you don't know what God says about it. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You must know God's word to have any basis for faith. By keeping a shield of the word over you, no fiery dart of the devil can penetrate your life. By keeping a shield of the word over you, no fiery dart of the devil can penetrate your life. You know, God says you can touch them, but you can't kill them. Evil tidings may come, but don't listen to them. Circumstances may look grim, but keep your heart fixed on God's word. Look to His promises instead of the situation. Resist the devil. Take your place in the safety of your Father and stay put. You know, we say God is my refuge, but then we run. You know, we get out from underneath that refuge. Hold your position even under pressure and your enemy will flee. And you read that in James 4:7. Hold your position even under pressure and your enemy will flee. Some of us sitting in here this morning, we know that we've had to resist that devil. And resist that devil, and resist that devil until he fled. Because he was bound and determined he was going to make you fall or make you stumble. But you had to be more so determined that he was not going to win the race. Right? Remember, everything you need is in that secret place with God. So hold your place by faith and believe what the Bible says. Hold your place by faith and believe what the Bible says. A lot of Christians don't believe the Bible. A lot of Christians don't even know the Bible. The only Bible they know is what a preacher preaches to them. And some of them, preachers don't even preach the Bible. And so we don't know where we stand with God. But we can't stand before Jesus and say, well, the preacher didn't preach it to me. Because you have a Bible. And you should be studying it. You don't have to go away to Bible college and have somebody else tell you what about it. You need to just get your Bible and study it and learn what's in there. You know, since we got a computer, and we have these computers, you get on there and do your Bible stuff on the computer, right? But about a month ago, I can't read the Bible on there anymore. I have to get my Bible. When I got my Bible, there was such an anointing on my Bible that the scriptures actually came alive to me. And I thought, see, this is what the computers are doing, and the Bible things on the computer, they're stealing the anointing that's on the word that you're constantly holding, the word you're constantly carrying around with you and reading. Try that sometime. Just get your Bible and just not read it on the computer and just see if there isn't a... And the truth just jumped off the pages. Amen. Believe Psalm 5:12. Is that where I'm at, Nancy? For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. God desires to bless you, to surround you with goodwill, to always protect you. That's his desire this morning. We're guarded by God. It really isn't difficult to stay in that secret place, that place of protection with God. We can do this with four words. Attach yourself to God. You know, we attach ourselves to people. But what we need to do is attach ourselves to God. And then people are just there as our friends or whatever, you know. But attach yourself to God. He is your main source. He is what you live and breathe and eat for, is God. Amen. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he will protect you. Sometimes he doesn't come through the minute you think he should. But he does come through as long as you stand in faith. And as long as you just keep believing and trusting in what he's told you, he does come through with what he said. Some of us in here can attest to that. We can say, you know, it took you a while, Father. But you finally did it, you know. Why did that happen? Don't you think it was like whenever Daniel prayed that, you know, and the answer didn't come right away? It's because it was being held up in the atmosphere. The enemy was trying to hold it back from you so that you just get upset with God and leave God. It is coming. Just hold fast. And I know, and God kept telling me years ago, he said that there was a light at the end of the tunnel. And after a couple of years, I said, well, where is the end of the tunnel? You know? Yeah, because it kept going on and on and on and on. He didn't answer that little request. But anyhow, you know, the end of the tunnel was there. Finally, and the light was there. But I just had to wait for God's timing. Our problem is we wanted in our timing, and God never does that. Just like he told me, don't try to make the glory come, because I'll bring it when I want to. Because I was really trying to get him to bring the glory. He said, I'll do it when I want to do it. So he said, just quit trying to make me do it. So whatever you're trying to make God do, just quit. And just trust him. Say, Father, I trust you. And just wait till he brings it. Amen. All right, let everything in your life revolve around your relationship with... No, I'm sorry. Go after the things of God. Go after his word. Make it a priority to spend time with him every day. Go after the things of God. Go after his word. Make it a priority to spend time with him every day. Let everything in your life revolve around your relationship with God. Everything. You will discover that God will do his part when you turn to him. When you turn to him. But God has given you a free will, and it is up to you to do your part, which is to attach yourself to him and depend on him. There isn't anything that's going on in your life that you can change yourself. But if you attach yourself to God, God will set you free from it. Are you listening here? And as he's setting you free, he might give you instructions every day of what he's doing and at what phase of that thing you are in. At least that's what he does with me. He does that because I get a little bit impatient. And I keep bugging him. And he'll say, and I'll go say, all right, Father, what's going on today with this thing? And then he tells me. But it's going to always be in his timing. All right? You choose to make the Lord your refuge, but then you must also choose to walk it out. You choose to make the Lord your refuge, but then you must also choose to walk it out. You know, last night I was going to shake somebody's hand as I left. The lady was standing right there. She'd never been here before. And when I put my hand out to shake her hand, she took hold of my hand and she said, "Don't you dare quit." And I looked at her and she said, "Don't you dare quit. I know it's been hard and I know it's still hard, but don't you dare quit because it's never going to get easy." And this woman did not know, but God had just spoke that to me a couple nights before that. And then she spoke some other things to me. And then she hugged me to say goodbye. And then she pushed me back and she said, "And you are not going to die, but you will live." She said, "Because you still haven't finished your work with God. And there's people in your life that you need to stay alive for." And she said, "Don't you dare think about dying ever again." And wow, you know. I mean, God is awesome. This woman never been here before. She drove by the church and she said to the driver, she said, "Let's go around. I want to see who's preaching, who preaches in that church." And she said, "I don't know why I come here tonight." I said, "Yeah, I do. You came here to say exactly what you just said. It's all confirmation, you know." "Well, I don't know if that's true or not," she said, "but I just knew I had to come in here tonight." See, God is my refuge. He's my source and he's my supplier. And he brought this lady out of nowhere to come and to minister to me. And he'll do the very same thing to you. And he probably already has done that to you. See, you don't understand that if you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your spirit, your soul, and your body, he's going to take care of you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. You know, have you ever had somebody say, "I really do love you," but whenever they say it, you can feel it's not really that true. They say it and they mean it, but there's still, it's not a deep love. But when God says, "I love you," there's just something about him saying, "I love you," that just goes clear down into your bones. You know, and you can feel it. And you can, it's in his voice, it resounds all through your body. Have you ever done that? That, you know, God is a God of love and he does love us. All right, walking it out means believing God, rebuking fear, standing on the word, and speaking the promises of God when a fiery dart comes your way. So when a fiery dart comes your way, walking it out means believing God, rebuking fear, standing on the word, and speaking the promises of God. Now, you know, I'm just going to give you this. You know, God told me, I didn't want you in this building, but you followed man's voice and got here. He said, "I will always keep you while you're here. You'll never have an overflow while you're in this building." So I said to somebody the other day, this is what we have in the checking account, and we can't meet any bills starting, you know, for the first of the month. Last night in the offering, there was enough money given by somebody in here that covers everything we need to be covered. And you know, I always say, but whenever I was talking about it, I said, but God said he would supply our needs. And so I know he's going to come through. I don't fret about it. I don't think about it. I just say, "God, here's your bills. You said you'd pay them." And he does every time. God is my refuge. I trust in him. You know, and I don't look to man. I don't go around, get on TV or in our website and say, "Oh, I'm really low on money. Would you please send my money?" And I never say that. Never have, never will. If I'm trusting God, which I do, if he's my refuge, if he's my provider, then I just be quiet, let him provide. Same thing happens in my own home life. I get down to nothing and God comes through. I'm telling you, he's the best thing you could ever get. You know, you let go of that devil you're following because he's not going to give you anything. But if you grab a hold of God and trust him, he always comes through. All right, so I said walking it out means believing God, rebuking fear, standing on the word, and speaking the promises of God when a fiery dart comes your way. Or you can choose to yield to fear and let go of your protection. See, I don't ever choose to yield to fear. I always hold on to God's promise. And so I don't lose my protection. Amen. Am I boring you? All right. No, he was yawning. I'm sorry. He didn't get any sleep either. All right. You must decide, you must decide how you will respond in a moment of crisis. You know, sometimes something comes your way and you know how that fear will start. You have to say, nope. I have a God that I can trust. My God is going to do it, whatever it has to be done. And I'm not yielding to fear. And don't yield to that fear. You must decide how you will respond in a moment of crisis. Your security will be determined by how much time and attention you give to God and His Word in this life. Now, another thing that came to me, she was an older lady, she said, because you love God so much, because you have been obedient to Him, He's going to take you to the mountaintop, and you and Him are going to do glorious things. But she said, because you love God so much, and because you've been obedient to Him, that was the word that stuck out to me. If you love God with all of your heart, and you're obedient to Him, He'll do great and powerful things for you, to you, with you, and through you. Amen. The scriptures talk about ye of little faith, and only you decide if that applies to you. If you give God a little bit of your time, you will have little faith and get little results. But when you give God your attention, spend time with Him and His Word, and refuse to believe any other word for the situations you face, God will give you His attention and see to it that you come out all right. When you are walking in God's wisdom, you will always be protected. I want to tell you something else that happened last night in here. I had Brother Chris prophesy because I was short-winded. But I watch the people, whoever's prophesying, I watch the people that are prophesying too. And Brother Chris was prophesying to this one man, and he said, you hate sin. And I think it was his wife, she went. And whenever he said, you hate sin, the man looked at me. I knew the man is messed up. But every time, you know, Brother Chris would say something good, the man would look at me because he knew it wasn't, you know, he wasn't there yet. He didn't understand, and she didn't either, that God was speaking into his life what was going to happen. So then Brother Chris, I told him, prophesied to her, and so he did. And she sat there totally bound, rolling her eyes. And then God explained to me what was going on in her life, so I just got up and didn't have a word, but I got up and walked over and put my hand on her shoulder. When I did, she went like that. I was behind her. And then God started prophesying to her through me after Chris was done. But when Chris was prophesying to her, she just sat there stone-faced and cold, you know, and indifferent. But when I prophesied over her, you know, God spoke to me to what he wanted. She jumped around and her face wasn't tight no more. And she said, I was just asking God about that as I was sitting back there in my chair. And she was free. She was free. So you see, we have to be paying attention to what's going on around about us. And if I wouldn't have been watching what he was doing, I would have never seen that that woman was still bound. She was terribly bound by pain from that man. And she couldn't believe God was telling him he was so wonderful. And I don't blame her. You've been there, right? And it even made her more bound. But I just knew that God was going to minister to her to set her free. And she was free. I talked her out in the lobby and she was free. But she wasn't free from the time she came in until God prophesied to her through me. But what he did was he prophesied to her pain. Brother Chris was prophesying what she was going to become. But God needed, she wouldn't receive that, so God had to prophesy to her pain. And she does love God and she does trust God. She just couldn't figure out why things are going on the way they were. All right? It wasn't that God was contradicting himself. She wouldn't receive. But Brother, I think it might have been because Brother Chris did all these wonderful words to her husband. She was probably mad at him. Because that does happen, amen? I've been there, done that. You're saying what to him? And sometimes God uses me to do that. Amen. See, we don't know the whole truth. We only see what's going on in part, but God knows everything. All right, so why could God use me to do that? Because God is my refuge. I trust God. And I know he won't ever get me to do something that's not right. So I just yield to him. Even though I don't know what he's going to do, I just yielded and got up and walked back there. And then God took over. Now, I'm not the only one that does that, but I'm the one speaking right now, and I'm just explaining things to you, okay? All right, we need to learn to ask God to direct our paths. Psalm 50:25-4 in the Living Bible says, "Show me the path where I should go, O Lord. Point out the right road for me to walk." How many of you got mad at God and said, "All right, God, I thought I was on the right road. Show me where I'm going astray." Amen. That when that lady was talking to me, she said, "The road you've been on has been like this." But she said, "Now, from now on, it's going to go straight up the mountain. And you're going to have a wonderful time." So some of us have been on a road like this. But God, this year is a new year. We're going to be going up the mountain. Amen. Psalm 121:1 says, "A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence come my help." How many of you do that when you're in trouble? Look up. Not to the phone, not your little cell phone, but look up, right? "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." You know, sometimes I'm going to get a hold of somebody, they're in bed sleeping, or they're out for a little bit. But God's never slumbering, and he's never out. He's always right there waiting for you to talk to him. "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil." See that? "He shall preserve your soul. If you trust in him, make him your refuge. The Lord shall preserve your going out, your coming in, from the time forth and even forevermore." It is important to recognize God as your source and your number one means of protection. See him as your guardian or covering. Right now, there's a lot of ministries saying, "Help, help, we need money. It's the end of the year." Well, you know, help, help. If you were trusting God, the end of the year won't ever come. Because he'll keep you covered. He'll make sure you're taken care of, right? But then, you know, in God's timing, God made me quit my job at the college, and it took me 6 months to obey that because I didn't want to do that, all right? And I forgot how many years ago that is, but God spoke to me. He said, "Daughter, if you'll quit this job, I will write your paycheck for you, and it'll be more than the world could ever write it for you." Since I quit my job, I've been in poverty. So I'm still waiting for God to start writing my check. And I even said, "God," just the other day, I said, "God, when I was working, I could just go out and buy anything I wanted to buy. I was never in debt or anything. But now I'm in a mess. But I know what you told me, so I'm waiting for you to write my check." Amen. You're still my refuge. You're still my source. You're still my supplier. So I'm telling you that, but to tell you this, you know, if God has asked you to do something and it looks like it just went the opposite, keep trusting God, because God is still going to do what he said he's going to do. Amen. God just saying to me, telling me you're too slow to understand what I'm trying to do. So I'm telling you all, you're too slow to understand what God is trying to do with you. In other words, we have to have more wisdom with what God is trying to do to us. Amen. David understood God's ability to protect him. In fact, he depended on it. That is evident when you read the Psalms. In Psalm 3:3, David says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head." And Psalm 25:15 says, "My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net." He was in a mess in that psalm. God alone can rescue you. Man can't. When you walk with God, trust him and walk in his ways. I'm sorry. When you walk with God, trust Him and walk in His ways, you can expect Him to protect you. Come on. See, if you're being obedient, you can say, God, I'm doing exactly what you told me to do, so I'm believing for you to protect me. I'm believing for you to bring me through this thing right now. And if you really love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, and your body, and if you really make Him your refuge, He'll twist the rules a little bit for you. He really does. You'd be surprised what He'll do for you. Only because you love Him. And He loves you. Amen. I'm not saying He allows me to go into sin. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying some of the things I pray for in other people's lives. They'll say, okay, but only because you asked me to. All right? Joy in the secret place. Ask God what I'm saying about that and He'll reveal it to you. Joy in the secret place. We should desire to abide in God's presence where there is not only protection but also fullness of joy. You know, one time God said, daughter, you have to return back to your first love. You left your first love. And so I got to talking to Him about it. He said, do you have any joy? I had, you know, God, the Satan had stolen all my joy. And I said, no. He said, then you have to return back to your first love. So what did I say here? We should desire to abide in God's presence where there is not only protection, but also fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11 said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. See, I had left my first love. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. People tell me all the time, my mother used to tell me, Barbie, you're so stupid, you don't even know when you're in trouble. Said you're always happy. Now, you know, I'm never in trouble if I'm following God, right? Because He is my strength, He's my refuge, He supplies all my needs, and I'm just happy, right? I'm not stupid. I'm just following God. All right, Psalm 16:11. No, where am I at? It is interesting to note that the Jews believe the Spirit of the Lord will not manifest Himself where there is sadness or depression. Isn't that interesting? The Jews believe that the Spirit of the Lord will not manifest Himself where there is sadness or depression. That makes sense to me because if you are sad or depressed, that means you are not believing God. If you are afraid or feel defeated, you are out of faith. And Deuteronomy 28:66 says, your life shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life. In the morning you shall say, oh, that it were evening. And at evening you shall say, oh, that it were morning. Because, why? Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, because of the sight which your eyes see. See, you don't trust God, and so you walk in fear. Think about it. Negative emotions can't get a foothold in our lives unless we turn loose of the promises of God that say we are delivered. That say God is our source of protection, provision, and every other good thing. Think about it. Negative emotions can't get a foothold in our lives unless we turn loose of God. It all boils down to this. We have to live by faith and trust in God. In Him, we have already been delivered from the whole curse. We are protected from danger, sickness, lack, or any other bad that is under the curse. Psalm 91:14. All right, so let's just stop there and say, all right, for the last 12 years, the church has been going through hell. I mean, the enemy has come at us with everything he has. But God warned us before it started that he was doing that. He said, woe unto the earth because Satan has come down. And he gave me that scripture and told me to start warning the church. And I mean to tell you, we just went through one thing after another, didn't you? In individual lives, did we not? But we didn't die. We didn't perish. Because God said that the church was going through a Job experience. And so as we read about Job, we saw that he lost everything, but he never lost his faith in God. You hear that? And he kept trusting God. And look what God did to him. He had more in the end than he did in the beginning. So our Job experience is over, thank God. And now we're headed for the mountaintop. And we're going to have more in the end than we had in the beginning. Psalm 91:14 says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. So get your eyes on God. And Psalm 121:1-2 tells us that he is your help and deliverance. Number two, make the decision to abide in the secret place and declare him to be your refuge. Number three, spend time with God in His Word. Number four, meditate on scriptures about protection until you are confident that you have it. Number five, if doubt creeps in, take spiritual action fast. Number six, get your shield of faith back up. Keep your words straight and listen to faith tapes. Number seven, do whatever it takes to get your heart anchored to in the truth. Number eight, don't listen to Satan's lies. Remember, we have a refuge or a covering that is greater than anything in the world and more powerful than any enemy that can come against us. Get a picture in your mind and heart of God encircling you, taking care of you, and protecting you. The more you walk with Him and trust Him, the stronger that armor and protection become. Psalm 5:11, Amplified Bible, says it this way, "But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice." What's it say? "But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy because you make a covering over them and defend them." God's been telling us to party now for a year, and we've been partying. I'm about party now. But anyhow, we've been partying, amen, and we've been giving Him our joy and expressing how we feel towards Him, and the songs we sing are telling Him how we feel about Him, and that is getting God, that has gotten God excited because we've been obedient, and we have found great favor in His sight. I'm just telling you because God told me that. We found great favor in His sight, and now you watch and see what He's going to do to us. You know, the whole church. He's going to bless and bless and bless. No matter what is happening in the world, you can rejoice because God has you covered. No matter what is happening in the world, you can rejoice because God has you covered. You have to get that down in your spirit. God has you covered. No matter what's going on around about you. If you don't get that in your spirit, when all this stuff starts hitting the fan, it's going to take you under because you're going to start walking in fear. God has me covered. You need to say to yourself, He is my refuge. He promised to keep me in crisis times. He promised me He would never leave me nor forsake me. And Satan, you can leave right now because you're going to leave me anyhow when you get me down in that pit. So you can leave right now because I'm going to follow God with all my heart. Soul, body, mind, and spirit. Amen. And what's some other little things? Cells or whatever. I'm just going to trust God no matter what goes on. There isn't a person in this room that has not been to the place where you say, God, are you still there? Do you really know what you're doing? You've given me these promises, but I don't see anything happening. In fact, things are getting worse. Don't do that. We are on the upswing. We're in a brand new year. God has promised that every promise He's given us up through 2016, He is going to fulfill in 2017. The only way they won't be fulfilled is if you quit trusting Him. The only way they won't be fulfilled if you don't make Him your refuge. The only way they won't be fulfilled is if you lose your faith in Him. If you really read the word, you'll see that His disciples were always persecuted, died terrible deaths, but they never lost their faith in God. They never lost their trust in Him. Some of them even said it's a joy to die for Him. And see, this is where the body of Christ has got to come to. We have to come to the place where we'll say, Father God, I rejoice in the fact that I'm going to die for You. Amen. You just have to get to that place. I'm hearing Him say there's security in Him. And that's the only place you can find your security. So what God is saying is in Him. Not in each other. See, we try to find security in each other. We try to find security in things. But our security is in God alone. And I'm not telling you to forsake your spouse or your children, whoever. I'm just saying you can still love others. But God has to become number one in your life. Amen. Every day, little Gabriel says, do you still love God more than you love me? I said, absolutely, honey. Because if I don't love Him first, then I won't be able to love you. You know, he's a little insecure. He has some things going on in his life. But he's just hoping and praying. I'll say, I love Him more than I love God. I said, no, I can't do that. And see, you can't love anybody else more than you love God. He has to be number one in your life. And then as you make him number one in your life, it doesn't matter if you're walking through hell. You won't know you're walking through hell, because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. This morning, what God wants to do is he wants to give you a fresh, new, fresh anointing of discernment. He wants you to be able to discern what's going on around about you, and so that the enemy will not be able to take you out, where the enemy will not be able to steal your joy, and where the enemy won't be able to make you lose trust in God. Remember years ago, God said, you don't trust me anymore. I said, yes, I do, Father. He said, no, you don't, because you lost all your trust in man. I come to the point, I didn't trust anybody. And I said, well, I still trust you. He said, no, you have to trust man too. He said, if you trust me, then you'll start trusting man. Because people had lied to me so much and did so much evil and everything to me that I just didn't believe a word anybody told me. If you told me something, I just didn't believe you. And God said, if you were still trusting me, you would believe them. And you would have discernment to know who was false and what was truth. And so this morning, that's why God wants to anoint you with the anointing of discernment, so you can discern what is truth and what is false. And the altar's open if you want to come up and get that anointing. But this is new, fresh oil for a brand new year. God doesn't use anything stale. Everything about God is brand new. So please, receive this as fresh new oil this morning. You know, that fresh new oil can also heal you. What the devil meant for your harm, God can turn around for your good today. The anointing is here to destroy every yoke of bondage that you still might have.